Pray with me. Father, we thank you that there's no other name under heaven whereby men can and women can be saved but by the name of Jesus. Lord, there's coming a day, and it doesn't seem too far off, when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We won't wait till then. We'll proclaim you our Lord right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Title of our message for this morning, How's Your Courage? How's Your Courage? It was in January of 2004. While he was serving with the 372nd Military Police Company, that a picture or a series of pictures had come into his possession. He pondered it, he thought about it for weeks, what he should do. And finally, his conscience, the good part of it, got the best of him. And he turned over the pictures to his superiors. And I think you know what I'm talking about. After he showed the pictures to his superiors, a series of investigations broke out dealing with the situation at the Abu Ghraib prison. Sergeant Joseph Darby pondered that very difficult decision as he went back to his units. People called him a rat. It got so bad that he, as he went back even to his hometown, he had to move him and his family out of the town. He even had to be put under protection because he did what was right. That took courage for him to do that, wouldn't you say? It's not easy to turn in your peers. But he did what was right. How's your courage? Have you ever come up against something that you thought was impossible to achieve or to deal with? Some of man's greatest challenges is when we refuse to be intimidated by the impossible. I would venture to say that we as a nation are in those kinds of times when we face great tasks more often. And I would ask you, how's your courage? Webster defines courage as this, and I'll share it with you. The attitude of facing and dealing with a recognized danger or a difficult and painful situation in which we feel like withdrawing from it. It is the quality of being fearless or brave. And it's just plain valor. That's Webster's definition. I found another one that I would like to share with you of courage. Courage is standing when everyone else wants to run. Speaking when everyone else is afraid to speak. Acting when everyone else is paralyzed by fear. Taking action in the face of danger. And holding one's character and moral uprightness when everyone else is tempted to compromise theirs. Sounds like what Joseph Darby did. Several weeks ago, I saw a program on one of the news channels, news stations, about a gentleman who was doing a high wire act between a building and the platform, and he had this long balancing beam, and he walked across to the end, and then he turned around and rode a bike back. When I saw that, I thought of what courage he has. But now I've kind of revised that. I'm thinking how crazy he was. You see, I have a tendency to attribute courage to like riding on some of those rides at the amusement park. Oh, y'all don't have to say amen to that, but some of them I won't ride. And you can say I don't have courage if you want to. We equate courage with maybe some of the wrong things. But maybe courage is overcoming our fears and stepping out and doing what we know is right. Maybe that is courage. Maybe courage is facing the everyday challenges of life. And it's why we hold teaching in such high esteem. We hold policing and firefighting and soldiering and the healing arts, and those in medicine, because to be in those kinds of professions, I believe, takes courage. When I think of courage as it relates to the Bible, there are at least three stories that come to mind, many more, but three that stick in my mind. One of them is the story of Joseph. All Joseph was doing was living, and then he decided God would give him a dream. So all he was doing was dreaming. And you know what happened to Joseph. Ended up being put into slavery for dreaming. It takes courage just to face the ordinary things of life. Another story that comes in mind, all the gentleman was doing was living. And in fact, at the time, he was the richest person who lived in his time. And all he was doing was living and taking care of his family. And his name was Job. It took courage for him to go through what he went through. But what comes to mind most of all, an example of courage, is found in the book of Daniel, if you would turn in your Bibles there. What book did I say, everybody? The book of Daniel, the third chapter, to be more specific, Daniel chapter 3. I want to highlight the story before we read a few of the verses starting at around verse 13. You know the story. In Daniel chapter 2, we're talking about the time in which Babylon was a great nation. And in chapter 2 of Daniel, God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar, the head of Babylon, a dream. Remember that in chapter 2? And the dream that he saw was a great image made up of all kinds of metals. Remember that? The head was gold and the arms were made up of what, everybody? I'm just checking. I know what it is. It's silver. And the thighs or the belly was of brass and the legs were of iron. Remember that? And the feet were part iron, part clay. Nebuchadnezzar saw that great image. So in Daniel chapter 3, he decided he would make an image. Guess what he did? He made the image of all gold. Because he was saying, I'm everything. I'm the beginning and the end. He made the whole image of gold. And then, this is what we see in chapter 3, he asks that the people would bow down and worship this image. And so this is what I'm going to read in Daniel chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 13. Give me just a second to turn there. I'm using a new Bible, so it's not old enough yet for me to get around. Okay, here it is. Chapter 3, and starting at verse 13. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Now they brought them before the king because they weren't going to worship. All they were doing was living their lives. They were just going to their church. Just ordinary stuff. And this is what happens. And then it says, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 14, spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when we play the music, hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery and in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good, But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately to the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I've been thinking this thing over. And I know I've been going over there to church over there, but I changed my mind, King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to bow down. You play the music, I'll get down. Is that what they said? I know. This is what they had to say. I like this passage. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You know it took courage for them to do that. I declare that we face the issues of courage more today than we ever have. In fact, it can be, you can face courage from the issue of courage from the moment that you're born. In fact, I want to show you something. Some of you may have seen this. I saw it probably a week or so ago, and I'd say I want to share it with you. It's about 8 minutes. It's just a private example of an individual who, even from an early age, exhibit, I consider, courage. Not necessarily religious in its aspect, but it just shows you the kind of courage that is mustered up. And so, Isai, if you would show that. It's about 8 minutes, won't take you long, and then I'll be finished in about 5 or 10 minutes after that. And you've seen this. If you may have seen it, then good.
Ben Underwood is blind. Both eyes were removed when he was 3, leaving him with no vision at all. So how on earth does Ben do this? And this? And even this?
I don't think I've ever come across somebody like Ben. He was quite unique.
Ben lost his eyes to cancer. But unbelievably, he's taught himself to see with sound.
If he chooses to go out there and ride that bicycle, let him ride the bicycle.
It's got to be very smart. Somewhere in there, it's a little genius going on.
I don't consider myself blind. Ain't nothing wrong with me.
Ben Underwood and his family live in Sacramento, the state capital of California. It's an old city with roots in the Wild West, but Ben and his family live in the new outlying suburbs. Ben uses many common aids for the blind, like speaking software for the computer, so he can jot down his rap lyrics. He's also written a book and does schoolwork on a high-tech braille writer. But what's unusual, what's truly unique, is what he doesn't use. Ben has no guide dog and never uses a white cane. He's not even using his hands. Instead, he sees with sound. He makes a sharp click, which bounces back off nearby objects. Amazingly, Ben's ears pick up the echoes, and he can precisely locate where things are. Ben is the only person in the world who sees using nothing but echolocation.
Well, I've been able to tell where walls are and where things on the ground are. If I click down, then I can hear them easier. But if I'm walking, I'm just clicking over it, it's not going to get it. And I can tell where desks are in the classroom and stuff like that. I can hear the wall over there, the couch over there. I can hear the wall behind me. I can hear the wall over there and the TV and the computer. Yep.
Ben, I need a towel for drying because I don't have all my kitchen towels in here.
All right, Mom, I'm going to go get it.
Ben's echolocation is so good that at home his mom, Aquanetta, Uncle Kerry, and Brother Isaiah make no allowances for his blindness at all.
When I was a little kid, I didn't really know he was blind. I just knew he was my brother.
Did he make it?
He's determined to do what he's going to do. And he refuses for somebody to label him as blind. You see this kid that has a whole different way of thinking. It's magic and it's real.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone quite as remarkable as Ben, nor have I seen anyone quite as remarkable as Ben's mom. And I think that's a lot of the secret to Ben's amazing talents.
He knows that there's nothing impossible for him, you know, and it's not. Whatever he wants to do, you know, I tell him he can see.
Aquanetta has refused to allow the loss of Ben's eyes to overshadow their lives.
I think you got the point. You can stop it. There's another 4-minute clip, but it basically goes through some of the same things. But I think his parents are remarkable for giving him courage because they refused to let his blindness stop him from achieving. And if you would see you can go on the YouTube and there's 5 parts. Some of you have seen that already, and time does not permit. They, of course, the universities have examined him, and he works just like sonar. That's what he's doing. Just like the submarines do, that's what he's doing. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, that'll stop you from saying, I can't do. And so we exhibit courage in some of the everyday things of life. And I thought that was a courageous story, that the young man was willing to just continue on with his life and not let that hinder him. But I'd like to ask you, if you're listening to the news today without Jesus, you ought to be ready to go about crazy. How is your courage? Are you discouraged? Are you thinking that your home is getting ready to be the next to foreclose? Are you thinking that your job is the next one to go? How is your courage? It takes courage to be in this world today with the things that are bombarded, that we are bombarded with. It takes courage. But as I was saying before, courage is not just eating strange things on TV. You know how they like to scare you, have you? That's not courage. I am in the belief that true courage always have a spiritual dimension with a physical component. You see, because the physical component tends to get us. Spiritual and physical. We challenge. What do I mean by that? You know when the saints of God are challenged and need courage? When they get sick. That's the physical component. Because the physical component, you don't feel well. And you react differently to things when you're sick. And it can even affect you spiritually. And we need courage. I want to share some scriptures with you. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. and he shall strengthen thine heart or your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37 in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Isaiah 40 in verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 40 in verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When people come into Fallbrook, they ought to see courage. Because you are in touch with God. Because of the text I just read to you. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Oh, I thought I'd get one amen off of that one. For I am your God. Forgive me for getting too excited. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, God is good. Psalm 138 and verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. How's your courage? I have a question for you before I end. I want you to think about this. Did Jesus need courage? Did Jesus need courage? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I've always been puzzled by the texts that show us where Jesus three times says he wanted this cup to be he wanted to be released from this cup. He needed courage. How did he get it? I'm of the belief, and I want to especially mention this to our young people here in the congregation, that courage is not so much instantaneous. Oh, it can be, but that's really not. It is a journey. It is a process. You have to do some things. Let me tell you something you already know about me. I'm somebody, if I got a problem, have you ever had a problem, those keep you up all night problems? Any of you ever had that kind of problem? When I have that kind of problem, you know what I want to do? I want to deal with it. I want to get it over so I can go to sleep. I want to deal with it as fast as I can. I want to hit it head on. That's kept me in trouble in ministry because I'm always going to use the standard. You're not going to see me hiding. That's not me. I'm going to probably bring it out. And somebody going to say, well, why would he tell the congregation that in front of my guests? Well, you know, I got to deal with it. And when I deal with it, I feel so much better. Don't you? You can kind of move forward. And young people, some issues, as you deal with them, early on, it'll give you strength to deal with later on issues that are going to come up, and they will come up, and you will have the courage you need. Now, let me tell you how Jesus got courage as we conclude. And this is not hard at all. You know how Jesus got courage? He surrendered. I know we don't live in a world. I know we're not taught to surrender. Jesus got courage because he surrendered. Sometimes you got to surrender. You got to surrender your ideas. You have to surrender a lot of stuff that we carry. You got to surrender it to God. And say, God, now I want this cup removed, but you just take it, God. You just take me and use me, all of me. And that's what Jesus did. And that, you know, surrendering takes courage, doesn't it? I have a feeling as I read Revelation 13, we're studying that with the class on Wednesdays, that there's coming a time when we are going to have to make some of the most courageous acts in the history of mankind. Major decision. When the Bible says that we won't even be able to buy or sell except we have the mark of the beast, that's a whole nother sermon. That's going to take courage. This little thing that we're going on with Wall Street, Main Street, that's nothing. When you're challenged for your faith, that takes courage to stand up. I'm always, you know, amazed at the strength of our young people as they grow up and witness to their faith. Today they're going out to feed the homeless. You know, they're not afraid. They have courage. I think, honestly, my personal opinion, that takes courage to do some of those kinds of things. And so we have built up our young people's courage in helping, in doing good. I want to commend you for that. Keep it up. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, courage, our courage is up and down. And the area where we're challenged the most regarding courage is spiritual things. What if we hear and we read the Bible and we see something that we know is truth? Lord, do we do that? Or do we say it's not for this time? It's for someone else, but it's not for me. Or do we surrender? When we hear about you, Lord, we hear about your death on the cross for us, and it moves our heart to accept you, and we hear that. Do we turn it off, or do we accept it? Lord, it takes courage to go on a spiritual journey with you as our lead and guide. Takes courage. But Lord, as you went in the fire with the three Hebrew worthies. You will go with us. You will not forsake us or leave us. And so the courage that we have is not our own, but it's trust in you. In these very difficult days in our nation, there might even be some here today who are struggling with the issues of courage. Courage about their health issues. Courage about their finances. So many issues. Lord, strengthen them for the task. And as they meet it head on, Lord, go with them. And in all of these things, we'll be careful to praise your name forever. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to conclude our service.